Okay, question number one, it says, Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. Among the Muslim brothers, is the handshake along with salam part of sunnah or just salam? If there's a group of brothers sitting, should I shake hands with all of them? Zakallah. Khair. This is an issue actually that, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam, alayhi wa Muhammad. This issue is a little technical depending on the situation. In terms of the handshake, which is known in Arabic as musafaha, we have many, many narrations in favor of it, recommending it and speaking of the virtues associated with it. That sins are forgiven and sins fall apart when the two believers shake hands, the same way leaves fall off trees, and other virtues which are mentioned. So the sunnah, you know, shaking hands is part of the sunnah which Islam accepted and recommended. This is on the first. Never mind the thing. Never mind the thing. This is first. Second, concerning if a group of people are sitting, the sunnah indicates that when you enter upon a group of people, you do not shake hands with them one by one. Because the Prophet ﷺ, and we learned from the Sahaba that when one of them would enter, he would give the salam and he would sit down wherever, you know, the end of the gathering or the end of the sitting was. So it wasn't their habit to actually shake hands with people individually. I know the scholars have differed on this because there are general narrations and specific narrations. And, you know, it's really a matter which requires of you to read the different opinions of the scholars and go with the one you should, which you think is closest to the sunnah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My intentions are to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but sometimes it slightly changes so that He can please me in return. Is this intention pure? Is it valid or is it sinful? I must seek His pleasure expecting nothing in return. Correct? No, incorrect. This is incorrect, and this is from the Sufis. This is from the Sufis. This is not from the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, nor is it from the teachings of the Quran. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وأنت خير الراحمين. A group of my slaves used to say, "Our Lord, we have believed. So because of that, forgive us our sins and show mercy to us. Verily you are the best of those who show mercy." And in many other ayats, the believers will say, "Oh Allah, we believed. So because of our belief, keep our feet firm. Give us faith. Forgive us our sins. Admit us to paradise." We worship Allah Azza wa Jal to please Him, and we want in return to be protected from the fire and admitted to paradise. And there's absolutely nothing. In fact, this is what is expected. Anything other than that is a misunderstanding of the concept of slavery. If Ibrahim was asking Allah for it, Ibrahim, he said to Allah Azza wa Jal, وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ, and make me among the inheritors of the gardens of delight. And so it is from the sunnah to want from Allah paradise, to want from Allah protection from the hellfire, so that we may ask, and then, you know, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this does not affect our insincerity in any way, shape or form. Even if it is worldly benefits, even if it is worldly benefits, because Allah says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whosoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for him from every difficulty and will provide him from places he does not expect. So again, Allah encourages to have taqwa so He may facilitate our affairs and give us sustenance. يَرْزُقْهُ from رِزْقْ, provision. No problem. No problem at all. Now, For Fajr Adhan, is it prescribed to say As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm? Also, what is prescribed method for calling the Adhan? Yes, it is prescribed to say As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm in it is prescribed to say that in the Adhan of Fajr. As for the method, then it should be according to the Sunnah. And what we learn is that you're not trying to put on a show in terms of how long you can make the adhan and how far you can elongate the sounds, or to what extent you can elongate the sounds. Nor is it what the people do today of going and up and down with the names and the words. And these are all contrary to the Sunnah. The method is, straight to the point. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Something along these lines. Not Allah. All this is nonsense, man. This is the name of Allah. And the name of Allah is not elongated up and down for 5-10 seconds. Someone used to call the adhan in this fashion, and he came to Ibn Umar and he told him, I love you for the sake of Allah. Ibn Umar told him, I hate you for the sake of Allah. Because you elongate the adhan, you sing it, and you get paid for it. So this is contrary to the Sunnah, even though you may hear it in different famous places, that is not the way to call the adhan. Now, and there's a video for Sheikh Albani on YouTube. If you listen to it, you can see how he called the adhan according to the Sunnah. Can a sister put in their nikah that they don't want their husband to take another wife? Is this prohibiting what Allah Azza wa Jalla has made halal? This question, should not be asked in public. Now, given two groups of people, the people of bid'ah and the people of sinners, both of whom one have tried to give nasiha to, but refused to listen. So which is safer to be with between the two? If we have no choice but to mingle with either one, it's safer to be with the sinners rather than with the innovators. It is safer to be with the sinners as opposed to the innovators. Am I stay home, divorce with 5 kids? I can only go online to seek knowledge as I find it. I have to leave my kids to go to actual class. Is there a way to seek knowledge acceptable? Yes, it is acceptable. Yes, it is acceptable to seek knowledge through what we're doing right now. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it and you wouldn't be attending. So no worries, inshallah. Many books on Islam, like collections and supplications, have some Quranic verses. Is it okay for a woman to hold these books and read from them while having her period? Allah knows best. I don't know. In regards to the hadith that talks about stopping fahsha, when family members are watching TV, I turn it off. I take their pictures down, etc. But they get bad at me and curse. Do I use wisdom and just leave it and hate it with my heart? No, you don't. If you're able to do it, and they're just simply getting, they're cursing you, then that's fine. That's fine. It's not worse than that. It could be worse than that. But I think a better solution would be explaining to them why this is no good, and try to convince them so they will willingly leave it. However, if they don't willingly leave it, I have to explain. And you have the authority to turn it off, turn it off. You have the authority to take down the pictures, take them down. Because Prophet ﷺ said, and the hadith doesn't say fahsha, it says munkar. مَنْ رَأَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. Whosoever amongst you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. As long as you're able to do so, you should do it. Do your lecturers have notes, or do your students just take notes as they listen to the lectures for reference? Well, usually they do the second one. I have notes, but my notes are very much personal, as in the way they're handwritten, they're on note cards. Sometimes they're just a part of the ayah or the hadith because I know it, so I don't write the whole thing. So it's not really a useful resource for a student. They're better off writing down whatever I say and then looking it up later and doing the rest of the work associated with it. That would be much better. Wallahu alam. If all the masajid within my country do qunut for Fajr, and I have given nasiha but I was not able to convince them, partly because the people are very tight with the Shafi'i mazhab. So what do I do? Do I continue to do Fajr with them, or do I do Fajr by myself? No, you continue to do Fajr with them. And you continue to advise them. Maybe inshallah one day someone will listen to you. Or maybe one day you'll become the imam. That way you won't do it. Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Are women allowed to speak online for purposes of da'wah and post videos for da'wah if she wears hijab? No. No, she is not. A woman speaking is fine. I mean, a woman's voice is not a'ura. It is not a'ura. However, once you start speaking about women doing things online, that means that many people can access them. It's no longer restricted. Now, if you ask me, can a sister give a lecture to a bunch of other sisters, I say absolutely. Absolutely, she can do so. And sisters may come to her, or she may go to them, even though her going out is not really recommended to be done all the time. Nevertheless, that's fine. But when you speak about online, now you have an audience of both genders. And no matter what you do, you can't really restrict it to strictly sisters, because you don't know who's pretending to be a female and who's not. And this is provided it's audio, let alone when it's video. This is not for the women. With all due respect to the female gender, and trust me, with all the love the males have for the females, Allah Azza wa Jal made da'wah and risala, the message, and all the prophets, men. It was all men, always been men, and this is the way of Allah. Men were made for this, and women definitely have a big role to play in da'wah. But if they're going to do it the way men do it, then they're doing something which the wives of the Prophet ﷺ didn't do, and the companions, the female companions didn't do, and there's no way someone can be better guided or can do something which they've left out or missed out on. And so their way is not that way. Yes, if a sister's asked, she may answer. If she has knowledge, she can be a mufti, she can be a scholar, no doubt. But to become, like a man, travel around and give lectures and what have you, and this is, some of the scholars said, this is not from the roles of women, and this shouldn't be done, because it negates many narrations and ayat which recommend and tell the sister to, avoid going out often and what have you. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. In my mosque, during prayers, when we are reciting At-Tahiyyatu, do we have to lift our finger when we reach the part Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammadan Rasuluh? Actually, Ashhadu Muhammadan Abduhu wa Rasuluh, not just Rasuluh. Or are we to move our fingers all along the recitation? No, you move it all along, and then when you reach the Shahada, you keep it straight. When you reach the Tashahud, Shahadatan, you keep it straight. Otherwise, you'll be moving it. Now. My friend and I are in a public speaking class for school. We give da'wah in our speeches, and alhamdulillah we have had a lot of good feedback, and the teacher selected us two from the entire class to do a public speech at a big event. We are sisters. Is this a loud source of da'wah? Like, I just answered that question, sister. No. No, sister. No, you can't be doing that. I hate to, you know, burst your bubble, as they say. But, you know, you should remember the role which Allah Azza wa Jal gave women in Islam. And their role is primarily based on their shyness and their modesty and their, you know, the sense of shamefulness, but not the shamefulness of, you know, being ashamed of something, but they're modest women, and standing before a group of people and addressing them, and they're both genders, is a big no-no. You have to understand, men are ever attracted to women, ever attract, even if she's wearing full hijab and she's wearing, you can't even see anything, just the female being there is a source of fitna for men. This is just the way Allah created the children of Adam. He made this in their natural disposition, and He commanded us to restrict it and restrain it for His sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He gave them lawful means to act upon this natural, you know, a thing that the human beings have. But still, you shouldn't be doing so. Even if it is for college. Allah Azza wa Jal is more important than the great. People take care of their bodies for their spouses, not technically to please Allah. Is this ibadah and is this allowed? That's fine, because pleasing your spouse is part of pleasing Allah. No big deal. Brother Mus'ab, I'm actually Abu Mus'ab. Mus'ab is my son. I'm his father. So in Arabic, someone's father will be called Abu, whatever his name is. If his name is John, so the father becomes Abu John. Okay? And so my name is Wajdi. Wajdi. I know you don't care, but just so you will know. And I'm Abu Mus'ab, as in the father of Mus'ab. So that's it. My question is that, could I go to Umrah with a group of people who go for Umrah to perform a full pilgrimage, inshallah, with my two sons, 15 and 13 of age, during summer vacation, inshallah? Is there any particular ruling to it, or is there any age barrier if I don't accompany my husband for the Umrah, or he doesn't accompany me due to any reason? Please highlight the same. Well, actually, I give you the good news. If one of them is 15 years old, that means he is of age and he's a mahram, and he is sufficient for you as a mahram for you to travel with. So whether your husband makes it or not, that's fine, because your 15-year-old son acts as a mahram for you. Now, if one had a dream, if one had a bad dream about their future to be husband, and she feels like it might be a sign from Allah that he is not right for her, and she keep having doubts about him, could this probably mean that he is not right for her, and that if she marries, the dream would come true? No. In fact, very often these dreams are from the shayateen, from the devils. And don't pay attention to these dreams. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that when you have a dream which disturbs you, simply ignore it. Seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, spit three times to your left, and do not speak, and do not share this bad dream with anyone. The devil is just trying to make life difficult for you. If you want to know whether this person is good for you or not, after you have decided to marry him, pray Salatul Istikhara, and don't wait for dreams or signs or anything. It's just a matter of facilitation. If after you pray the Istikhara, Allah facilitates this marriage, alhamdulillah, that's what Allah wants for you. If Allah does not facilitate it, alhamdulillah, Allah does not want you to be in it. It's the outcome. The istikhara will be in the outcome. Not based on a dream, not based on a hunch or a feeling, that because there could be whispers, it could be from the shayateen, there could be other many different elements. So that's not how it is done. Now, is eating and drinking completely forbidden while standing up? Well, the scholars have differed on this issue, and some of them say yes it is, and some of them say it's very disliked, and some of them detail it depending on the situation. I really cannot give you a preponderant position here, because of the, it's a valid difference of opinion based on the interpretation of the hadith. I have a book called Adabul Islam, wherein they mention the difference of opinion, and they favored a particular opinion, which pretty much is in favor of the prohibition, in that you do not eat and drink standing, unless you're drinking standing, because there are exceptions to the rule in drinking, and there are narrations to that effect, specifically if it is zamzam, or if it is not feasible for you to sit down. Otherwise, if you're able to sit down, then one should strictly avoid eating and drinking while standing up. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. It is said in the Quran that on the day of judgment, our good deeds and bad deeds would be put on a balance. And if our bad deeds overweigh the good deeds, we shall be sent to hell. My question is, man does more bad than good daily. So what, which means we shall go to hell? I explained this, I think the same question was asked before. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I said last time, I think it's the same questioner with the same question. I said, you do not do more bad deeds than good deeds. Usually you don't. In fact, it's the other way around. Because the one deed, the one evil deed is equal to one. And one good deed is equal to 10. 10 hasanat, multiplied minimum 10, up to 700, up to many more. The Prophet ﷺ said, between every salah and salah, the sins in between will be forgiven. Between every Umrah and Umrah, the sins will be forgiven. Between every Ramadan and Ramadan, the sins will be forgiven. And we have many different reasons, many different virtues, many different acts of worship, which if you were to do, they will get all of your sins forgiven. This is besides repentance, which gets the sins forgiven, calamities, which expiates for the sins. Truth is, if someone is good, and then their average person should have more good deeds than bad deeds. Unless someone is very wicked, in which case, yes, they will go to hell. Wallahu a'lam. Or unless that deed they're committing is very evil, that it wipes out their good deeds. Like someone who's arrogant or something along these lines. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How do we differ whether the evil whispers are from your nafs or shaitan? Do we seek refuge and then spit to the left, or is it just for salah? No, this is just for salah. And how to differentiate? Allahu a'lam, I don't know how. Is it possible for your last one to come and give you an information, your last one to come and give you information in your dream? Please, is the role of dream in Islam? Allahu A'lam. It's possible, yes. It is possible.
It's possible, yes. It is possible, which is. We're in the rush.
If someone had a dirty dream, not by intention, just while sleeping, is it a sin? What should we do? Of course not. How could Allah Azza wa Jal hold someone accountable for something which happens in their sleep? Impossible. And the Prophet ﷺ said, رُبِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثِ. He mentioned, النَّائِمْ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِظْ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةً. He said, the pen has been lifted off three, and he mentioned one of them, the sleeping one, until he wakes up. So while you are asleep, you are not held accountable for anything which you do, because you're not there. What to say to people who say that Allah inspired them to understand the meaning of the Quran, and so they don't necessarily consult Sunnah? We say to them, you are deviant, misguided, and you need to repent to Allah. Can an imam suspend someone from the masjid because an incident happened, or one of the young men who attended the masjid got suspended from the masjid because he posted pictures of some sheikh who America believes to be extremist? Well, yes, it is possible if a person is creating fitna in the masjid and it will jeopardize the stability of the masjid and risk the condition of the people there, he may be suspended, because Imam Malik rahimahullah did so when someone asked him, how did Allah rise above the throne? And he said, وَلَا أَرَاكَ أَلَّ مُبْتَدِعًا ثُمَّ أَمَرَ بِهِ فَأُخْرِجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. He said, I see that you're nothing but an innovator, and he commanded that this person would be taken out of the masjid because he was causing fitna in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نعم. Can family members ask for my car and let them, but they go to haram places or dress in haram way? I can't say no to them because they are my elders. Am I sinful? Yes, you are. Yes, you are sinful, and you have to say no. You have to say no. Recently a gathering of reciting the Qasida Burda for use was held at a local mosque. Is it my duty to point out the shirki aspects of the poem? Yes, it is. If you have the means to do so, yes. You point it out, and you warn them, and you show them what the scholars have said concerning this shirki poem, and you advise all those whom you can advise. Yeah, of course. You see something wrong, you don't remain quiet. I heard that if someone murders a person, he will carry the sins of the person he murdered. Is that true? And the person being murdered goes directly to heaven. I don't know. I've never come across something like that. Wallahu a'lam. And it seems to be against the general understanding which we have in the Quran and the Sunnah. Wallahu a'lam. That وَلَا تَزِرُ وَزِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul should carry the burden of another. So that means if an evil person is killed, he's going to go to Jannah? That sounds far-fetched. How can I understand the hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ? Why am I reading this from the main thing? Okay. My fault. Is it okay to start any gathering with Surah Fatiha and end with Surah Asr? It is okay to end it with Surah Al-Asr because it has been narrated that the companions did so. As for beginning with Surah Al-Fatiha, it's a bid'ah innovation. It's an innovation, leave it alone. It is mentioned in the hadith of the Quran, how long should someone stay in hell before he's taken out? It depends on the person. It depends on the person and their sins and their crime. There isn't a standard time for everyone. Everyone will have his own, whoever deserves hell will have their share according to what Allah Azza wa Jal knows. We don't know that. And we ask Allah to protect us. I have to finish early today, guys. I have 10 more minutes. because I have some guests coming over, not too, long from now, so we'll have another 10 minutes of Q&A, inshallah. Instead of an hour, we're having 45 minutes. I forgot to tell you in the beginning, forgive me. Is it a sunnah to start a speech from Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah? No. The sunnah is you begin by praising Allah. The Prophet ﷺ would begin by praising Allah. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُونَ اسْتَعِينُ وَرَى الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. It's not from the sunnah to begin with أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, or to begin with تَعَوُّذ. It is not from the sunnah to begin by saying أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي, and other expressions where people begin with seeking refuge with Allah. This is not from the sunnah. If someone does it occasionally for whatever reason, يعني, it's fine. But to begin every speech in this manner, then this is not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and it entails abandoning the sunnah and doing an action which is not from the sunnah. And both are no good. How do I advise my sister is doing good but keep advertising it on her Facebook, like fasting on Monday and Thursday, etc.? Well, you do so by reminding her that, that Muslims should conceal their good deeds as much as possible, unless, there's really a benefit in mentioning that. Yani, if she's really sincere for the sake of Allah, and she's mentioning this so that other people will be encouraged, then this is fine, provided that her niyyah is sincere. But that is, that should be avoided, because the shaitan can easily creep in and make it, a matter of wanting to be praised and what have you. So this should be avoided, And let her read how the righteous predecessors used to be very concerned about people seeing their good deeds. Does one say Bismillah before reading the dua, before entering the washroom? Allahumma ni'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Na'am. From what I know, yes. Oh no, wait. Naam, yes, he does. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Best books for young seekers of knowledge. What books do you encourage? Well, it depends on what you're looking for. And quite frankly, most of the books are in Arabic. But for the seekers of knowledge, I think there's a series of Islamic studies by Abu Amina Bilal Phillips, which should be an excellent resource for you. A series called Islamic Studies by Abu Amina Bilal Phillips. May Allah preserve him. Naam. How can I understand the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam profoundly? First, it is incorrect to say Holy Prophet. It is incorrect to say Holy Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not holy. It is Allah azza wa jal who is holy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man who received revelation, but he was a man. And you know that in the Christian context and terminology, holy means of divine nature. Consequently, they have Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy Ghost, whom they consider all to be gods. So a Muslim shouldn't say Holy Quran, or Holy Prophet, or Holy Ramadan. These terms are not from the Quran or the Sunnah. Because the term holy in Arabic is Muqaddas. And you will never find Allah described in the Quran as Muqaddas, nor did He describe Ramadan as being Muqaddas, nor did He describe His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being Muqaddas. This is Christian terminology, which Muslims should strictly avoid. Now, as for how to understand it profoundly, then by referring back to the scholars, akhi. You have to refer back to the scholars who have done the tafsir, the explanation, and the interpretation of these hadith, and this is the best way to understand it from those who are most qualified. Uh, you got cut off when you were answering my question about the imam suspending someone from the masjid. What was the answer? Yes, it is allowed if that person is going to create fitna in the masjid, because Imam Malik rahimahullah, he suspended someone from the masjid after he asked him, how did Allah rise above the throne? And Imam Malik would ask that this person would be taken out of the masjid. So if the person is going to jeopardize the masjid and the people that attend the masjid, then he may be suspended from the masjid because of the fitna which he creates. How can I tell a Christian who says, Salaam alaikum wa alaikum salaam. How can I tell a Christian who says that Jesus did not know He was God when He was on earth, and that it was not God who came down, but a part of His spirit? What can I tell a Christian? You can tell him that, yeah, Jesus did not know He was God because He was not God. That's exactly what we teach. It's not like He did not know. He did not know because He wasn't. So, obviously He wasn't a God. He was not a God. And when He was on earth, and that I was not God, it was not God who came down, but a part of spirit. What is this? Yani? Tell him this is all philosophy. Neither the biblical term, you know, verses, nor the logical ones, you know, approve these philosophical Christian fabricated interpretations. Tell them this is all philosophy. And so the Quran is the only reliable source for us to know what happened to Jesus. And Allah told us already that He was the Messenger of Allah. Is drawing haram in Islam? No. Unless you're drawing animated beings. If you're drawing people or animals which have souls, then it is haram. If it is not, then it's fine. You want to draw trees and mountains, rivers, houses, buildings, airplanes, oceans, whatever. Go for it. But if you want to draw human beings with facial features and animals, then no. Then yes, it is not allowed. Is it okay to watch cricket match and pray for one's team as long as one's missing, not missing any salah? No, it is not allowed. Watching the cricket match, if there's no haram involved, yani if these people's awra, their private area from their navel to the, if it's not covered, then you can't watch. If there's music, you can't watch. If there are women, you can't watch. And making dua for them is a no-no. You don't make dua for Allah to give a team a victory over another team. This is lack of mannerism with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam. Please, can I know why they're not allowed to draw an image of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because Allah and His Messenger made drawing haram. And drawing a picture of Him is creates two problems. First, it is injustice because you cannot depict Him. And so it becomes a lie. Anything you draw would become a lie. Secondly, it leads to shirk. Some of the, you know, ignorant Muslims, they are worshipping the Prophet ﷺ even without a picture. With the existence of a picture, they will go outside of Islam. So this is not from the deen of Allah. And we don't ask something Allah made haram. Khalas. Best to leave it alone, inshaAllah. Jazakallah khair. Okay guys, I guess I can take in the last question. Fitna means trial. Tribulation. or temptation, depending on the context. Problem, it could be problem, conflict. As for saying Bismillah with this dua in the beginning, then there's a narration in the Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba regarding this matter, but Shaykh Al-Bani has pointed out the weakness of this hadith in Tamamul Minna. As Abu Ma'ashar, or Mash'ar, is in its mad and he is weak. Is this info correct? Well, Shaykh Al-Bani rahimahullah is a reliable reference, but from my understanding, the reason why Bismillah said is because we have other narrations concerning the fact that before you take off your clothes, you say Bismillah to protect yourself from the jinn and the eyes of the jinn. And so the reason for Bismillah is for the act of taking off one's clothes. Wallahu alam. Wallahu alam. That's what I know. And, you know, it could be further looked into. Okay, that's the last question, inshallah. I'm 25-year-old girl waiting for marriage. My problem is there someone who's proposed to me? I wish to have him as my husband, but he is confused about making a decision with regards to me. Is it a haram dua to make that marriage should happen between us? Not a love affair, but to build a happy marriage life with beautiful kids, inshallah. Also, can you help? Please prescribe me a suitable dua if this is permitted. Well, my suggestion to you is ask Allah to facilitate this marriage if it's good for you, and not to if it is not. Don't ask for it, because you don't know whether it is good or not. So ask Allah, oh Allah, if this marriage is good, and it will be means to be, you know, get closer to you and please you more, oh Allah, facilitate this marriage and bring me and this man together, for your sake. If it is not, oh Allah, then give me someone else instead. Keep it general, don't specify. Alrighty guys, Jazakumullah khair, and we'll see you in the very future. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.